Hi, I'm Tammy Greenberg, Senior Vice President for Business Development at REV, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. Our latest podcast series comes to you from the 2023 ANA Masters of Marketing Conference, where the marketing and ad community all come together with a laser focus on growth. The conference showcased insights, strategies, and campaigns that leading brands have implemented to drive growth by meeting and exceeding their consumers' needs. REV had the opportunity to chat with many attendees about their businesses, their marketing goals, the issues that they're most focused on, and of course, their thoughts about radio. In episode number 12 of Radio on Main Street at the ANA Masters of Marketing, Erica Farber, REV's president and CEO, talks with Brent Christensen, director of marketing capabilities for Alcon Laboratories. Some of you may remember that we spoke with Brent at last year's conference, and his passion for radio and its ability to drive behavior and change for brands came through loud and clear. Let's take a listen to his thoughts one year later.
Well, welcome back to Radio on Main Street.
Thank you. Great to be here.
I'm excited because you were the only person that we spoke to last year that we're actually going to connect with again this year.
Okay, that's interesting.
So, you were very intimidating last year because when we asked you to speak with us, you were so gracious, and then you had all these notes. And I remember feeling so overwhelmed by the information that I thought, you should be in my seat, not in that seat.
Not at all.
Anyway, well, welcome back.
Thank you.
So how is your ANA experience so far?
It's been great. This is a wonderful conference. I was mentioning earlier, I brought eight other people from my company to have them be able to experience it as well. I've had a great experience here in years past and wanted them to have the same opportunity. So from our surgical division and our vision care division, and they've had a tremendous time.
Oh, it's so great. So for some of our listeners and viewers, because now we're on a YouTube channel too.
Okay.
Who are not familiar with Alcon, share a little bit about your company and
sure.
its capabilities.
Sure. So Alcon is one of the global leaders in eye care. It was founded in Fort Worth, Texas over 70 years ago. We have sales of about $9 billion. It's not a small company. It's not one of the largest on the planet either, but it's a great company, great culture. And they're all about helping people to see brilliantly. That's our mission, and we're very focused on the eye. Some other companies have a division that does eye care. We're all about the eye. That's basically our 100% mission, and it's been a fun company to work for.
I love that. Seeing brilliantly.
Yes.
What a great line. It's wonderful. And you, personally, I know, are a strong supporter of audio and radio.
That is true.
And talk a little bit about why you believe so strongly in the medium.
Sure. Just to give a little background, so I worked for Hormel Foods early in my career. Hormel was a big supporter of radio. Mm-hmm. Thinking about brands like Dintymore Stew, Hormel Chili, so especially during the winter months, those are big brands. It over-indexes during the cold season because consumers want foods that are warmer to warm them up, especially if you're in Minnesota and the Midwest. It helps a lot. So radio was actually a big way to activate those brands. Transitioned a little bit later in my career, working for the Hershey Company, I managed the Reese's brand in the U.S. And confection in general is an impulse category, and radio works really, really well. You're in a car, you're driving by 7-Eleven or other convenience stores, and a radio ad plays, and you have you have the thought, I'm going to pull over here and actually consume a product. So radio can be a very powerful medium. That's part of, some of the reasons that I've seen that radio works very, very well for many brands. Some brands, very, very strong. It's a good part of their media mix, and I definitely recommend folks who have not tried radio or don't have the experience using it to do so.
I should also disclose that you are part of our audio agency and advertiser committee that is helping us at the REB with strategies and focuses on how we can better support brands and products with audio. So I would like to publicly thank you for that, because you're support of our mission is invaluable to us. So thank you for that.
Well, it was a gracious invitation. I'm excited about the opportunity to be able to give back. During a career, you learn a few things along the way, and one of those was the power of what radio can actually do to a brand, to build a business. It's not just about extending it into another medium. Mm-hmm. I think that's one part of what we do, is to try to have an appropriate media mix, but also being able to leverage tools in unique different ways. And radio was a great way to bring our brand to life in a number of different categories across different brands.
I know that you look at numbers, and it's no secret that radio has tremendous reach. And if you look at the listening audience compared to how small the percentage is of advertisers' budgets that radio is getting, where do you think that disconnect is? And what can we do a better job with brands and products to break through so that companies like yours and brand managers and advertising managers give a higher consideration to include radio in their media mix?
It is a great question. Two of the big things that every marketer wants to do is to build sales and to cut costs to increase their margins.
Right.
And radio can help with both of those.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned reach potential and the, you know, opportunities to target their customers in a unique, efficient way. Radio does that very effectively, and it's very cost efficient if you look at the cost that radio delivers versus other mediums. Super efficient spend.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, from a production standpoint, the cost to produce radio ads is relatively inexpensive.
That's
and
a great
so
point.
If you think about that cost, and even just the cost of entry into radio, it's affordable.
Mm-hmm.
You think of the digital spend, you know, a lot of advertisers are very, which is appropriate, digital has become a increasingly important spend for them versus the traditional kind of TV, print, et cetera.
Right.
Digital has become that, but radio is right in that mix. I think for me, it's about education. Not everyone has had the opportunity, because digital has become so prominent. I think not everybody has leveraged some of the more traditional tools like radio advertising, or even, you know, more generally, you know, whether it's podcasts, et cetera, but radio specifically we're talking about.
Right.
Not everybody has that experience. So I happen to work for brands where radio was a part of that mix and
mm-hmm.
was an important part of that mix in helping to deliver our plan for the year. And my recommendation overall for the industry is to get more case studies. I think that's where we learn, coming to conferences like this, where we hear case studies about powerful brands that have activated using different mediums.
Mm-hmm.
Having that available is a powerful way to showcase what it can do.
Right. I have noticed in the last several years, not all, but more brands, when they're sharing their case studies, are including some audio examples, which is very encouraging to us.
For sure. I mean, iHeartRadio was here this year.
Uh-huh.
They presented and they provided some data points around the power of the medium, and
right.
I think that is a great start, but there's even more behind that. I think it probably wasn't a major takeaway from folks like, okay, the power of radio is X. However, every little bit helps, and I think the more case studies that get out there in places where marketers are looking for education, they're
mm-hmm.
looking for how to optimize their business, how to grow their brands, the more that we can, you know, put information out there where they're already looking
mm-hmm.
is a great way to help build the story so that they can do a pilot to start somewhere, have conversations, and understand better what radio can do for them.
Well, and that's a great reminder, whether you're talking to a large national brand or a strong local brand. A local restaurant, they want to know what other local restaurants have done and
yep.
the success that they've had. So that's a very good reminder for all of us as we listen to this. You have come, obviously, to the ANA multiple times. What are the big themes that you're picking up from this year's conference?
One of it is understanding your brand, not only the history, but what your brand stands for.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to stand for something, and understanding what your brand stands for.
And that's a different than a mission statement of a company.
How do you bring that to life?
Right.
And part of what I've seen this year is the continued extension of how do you activate your brand mm-hmm. with your consumer base?
Right.
One, how do you target those consumers? How do you know what listening is? It's been a consistent theme across. How do you understand their needs? But then also, how do you create experiences to engage them? The lifetime value of a customer is huge. So it's not always about that one-time transaction of selling, mm-hmm. okay, I'm going to sell you a product once. It's about how do I create a relationship with you over time?
Right.
And how do I create meaningful relationships over time, which is also another level of just having a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So those are a couple of the big things I've seen, which has been repeated through multiple presentations. Interesting, you know, MasterCard did a really great job of showcasing some of the work they're doing. They're investing a lot of money to build experiences around, you know, priceless. And I think that is, you know, one of the premier examples that I've seen this year.
I was also struck by that presentation with, and I'd never thought about it before, shame on me, but for a blind person to use a credit card and how they have adjusted
yes.
the actual credit card. So by feel, you would know the difference between a debit card and a charge card and
yes.
how powerful that is for someone that doesn't have sight.
It's a small insight. I'd seen that example before. It wasn't the first time.
Right.
But it's taking little things that are meaningful to customers, consumers, patients, in our case, mm-hmm. you know, but delivering innovation in new and different ways that will excite and delight people.
Right. It's pretty exciting. So we can't not have this conversation without mentioning AI. Because it's been mentioned in every presentation that I've seen the last several days. And how do you see AI affecting your industry?
So it's a really good question, and it will be a question that's going to continue to be asked in perpetuity.
Yeah, it's AI, not going away.
AI has been around, and I think we often don't recognize the power of what artificial intelligence has done.
Mm-hmm.
If we think about Disney Plus, I have 5 kids. So Disney Plus, as you watch movies, it will also, over time, use algorithms to then suggest or recommend other movies to watch.
Right.
That's AI. If we think about asking Siri or talking into, we call in the customer service center, and we're not talking to a human being at first, at least, you know, that's using artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we're seeing now with the things, with things like ChatGPT, et cetera, there's a lot of companies now that have understood the power of leveraging AI in new and different ways.
Right.
Some of those ways that I've seen that will continue to get even better over time is how do we do a better job at targeting?
Mm-hmm.
How do we segment our customers and consumers in new and different ways and get even more micro-targeted into what their needs and what they're looking for?
Right.
And how we can, again, get our products and what they're looking for to them at the right time, at the right place, at the right price points, etc. So that's one example.
But at the same time, we all have to be mindful of not scaring that consumer.
It's true. There is a balance, and I think that will always be the case. It's there has to be that balance. But AI, a lot of companies are looking at new and different ways, even with creating assets.
Mm-hmm.
Think about campaign assets. We can use AI. I just went to a presentation last week where they talked about they can take pixels from different photographs and combine them in new and different ways to create artificial imagery, but that can be used in campaign materials. And so, and just the iteration, the potential for it to do very quickly. So think about a campaign that you develop. It can actually take that campaign and do different iterations of the campaign with different, slightly different wording,
right.
But it can do it in seconds, jobs that might take us, you know, a significantly longer time to do that. So those are just
which involves significant dollars.
It can, yes.
Yes.
So I mean, there's some cost savings, efficiencies that can be built in that. There's
mm-hmm.
a lot of ways we're probably not even thinking about using or leveraging AI. It's still in its infancy, and there will be a lot of new ways that innovative people will come up with of how do we leverage this interesting tool. But it's already starting to be used in some pretty cool ways.
Someone reminded me earlier today. And it was such an interesting observation that a year ago at this conference, there was a lot of talk about gaming and esports, and yet that's not even being mentioned this year, and everything has moved to AI.
Mm.
But I have a feeling when we're here next year, AI is going to still be here.
I have a feeling, yes. I have a feeling it will do as well.
This has been a challenging year for so many reasons, certainly on the media side and brands and products and coming out of COVID and here's our new normal. If you look into your crystal ball, what are the opportunities that you see in general for next year?
Another really good question. There's always a lot of uncertainty in every business. There's headwinds and tailwinds, and our job is to look beyond some of the short-term issues to look at long-term brand longevity and how we build brands over time. Mm-hmm. The ANA is pretty focused on that, about leveraging the core of what your business does and represents, which you see evidenced in a lot of the presentations here,
right,
and developing a plan of action, a strategic vision for your brand and how to grow it, mm-hmm. and then implementing that plan with excellence. I think for me, and for Alcon specifically, I won't go into Alcon specific, but for any brand, it's really developing that vision of what do you stand for, where do you want to go, and how are you going to get there, and then build the building blocks and build out that vision mm-hmm. to make it happen. Along the way, there's always adjustments that need to be made. Some things work like you thought they would, other things don't, and you have to tackle it when it comes. But essentially, having that longer term vision and understanding what is the roadmap to get there has been very successful. I think brands where they don't have that clear vision of what they want to be mm-hmm. in 5 or 10 years mm-hmm. and how they're going to get there, they'll have some short-term gains, but over time it's hard to keep that story going.
Right.
So those are some of the, you know, the big things I see. There's going to continue, every year has different challenges. Sometimes it's economic challenges.
Yes.
I mean, there's natural disasters that affect businesses and affect people and communities. Those things are going to be around. They're not going to stop happening. Mm-hmm. But what we can do is be true to what our brands represent, have a plan of action, a strategic vision, and then execute with excellence.
And listening to you speak is a great reminder for us on the media side that are trying to support businesses like yours. When we're doing our needs analysis for you, our questions need to mirror the same questions that you're asking of your own company. And I that struck me when I was listening to you talk.
Yeah, I mean, it's a partnership. We just had some great training, and we leveraged one of our agency partners to help us with the training. And in the conversation, we learned about even more about each other, about what their needs were, what our needs were, and having that conversation, sitting down together at the table, and just looking through, okay, here's where we want to be. These are our priorities,
right?
Strategic vision, and how we want to get there, and they can offer their insights. In fact, we used to have an annual meeting where we brought all of our partners in, mm-hmm. and we would actually challenge them. We want you to tell us what you think we should be doing. We want to listen from you and get your input.
Love to be a fly on the wall in that room.
Yes, and we literally took some of the best ideas that came out of that mm-hmm. and, you know, awarded some of them with the business to help us achieve those goals and ambitions. And we said, you know, nothing's off the table.
Right.
There's no bad ideas. It was an innovation ideation session, but that's just one example. Mm-hmm. But I think that partnership is super important. It's not always just a transactional thing. Okay, here's my budget. You know, tell me where I should spend my dollars,
right,
and optimize my media mix. Yeah, that's important. But it's also about what is the greater vision for your brand? Where do you want to go? What else can we be doing to help support you?
Right.
You know, those are some things that have been very powerful to help us to leverage the fact that there's some very smart people outside of our organization mm-hmm. that can help us grow our business.
Right. You may remember this from last year when we spoke, but our campaign, we talk about radio matters. And if you could finish that sentence, radio matters because?
All right. I've thought about a similar question, and I have what I'll call a top 10 list for you.
Okay. Let's hear it.
So, one, radio amplifies the message. Mm-hmm. And it also helps create a surround sound so that you have your brand showing up in different touch points. I think that's a really important thing for marketers to think about. And one of the great reasons why radio matters is because it gives you a unique point in time mm-hmm. at a location that you may not be getting otherwise.
Right.
People driving in their cars is a hard place to reach if you're only doing TV advertising.
Correct.
So radio can matter in that way. Extend your reach. I love, you talked a little bit about, you know, 82% of Americans are listening to radio every week.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. That's a big number. And so the scale of radio is another reason why, like, marketers should pay attention. I was looking at some of the numbers from iHeartRadio and thinking that's just one example.
Yes.
But, you know, they have a sizable media business, and a significant percentage of Americans are leveraging their media network, and whether it's them or other customers, radio is big, and I think that's a huge takeaway. So if marketers are looking at how do I increase the scale and the reach of my business, radio is one way to activate that. There's another piece that I was thinking about, is about the sixth sense, I'll call it. We have our five senses, but there's another one that radio does in a unique way. So when we're watching something like a TV ad, we're actually visually watching what's happening. We're not ideating or creating in our own minds what's happening because mm-hmm. we're watching it. With radio, we're actually imagining what that looks like in our minds, and it creates a lasting impression
yes.
that is differentiated versus other mediums.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a really powerful way to think about how radio is actually creating a lasting memory structure for us as we're listening to advertising. So, you know, think about when we grew up, our parents read to us a book when we went to bed, and we had to imagine all the stories that were taking place. The same thing happens in a car on the way home from an office, or going to the office in the morning, or going
Absolutely.
To the grocery store.
Yes.
So that's a powerful way to reinforce a message in a very creative, innovative way for consumers to actually be part of the story as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a captive audience. I think that's another thing. If we think about the effectiveness of media, we can have TV advertising, which is effective. It's an effective medium.
No question.
But if I'm on a couch and commercials start on, I'm probably going to go get something to drink. I'm going to go get some food. I get distracted. When I'm driving in a car, which isn't the only time to listen to radio, I'm not getting as distracted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, again, talks to the power of a medium where you've got a captive audience who's going to be listening to their favorite songs with some of their favorite DJs and hosts, as well as listening to your advertising and stopping potentially at a convenience store to pick up your product along the way because I just heard your ad. So that's another big piece of it. Access to trusted friends. This was another big idea for me, that if you think about the hosts, like the radio station hosts, they're actually like a trusted friend to a lot of the local markets. And you can't replace that in an easy way. We have bloggers and people like spokespeople that will give you some access into their lives and be almost a gatekeeper. But I look at the radio industry has this unique advantage in that you've got a trusted friend right there that can actually recommend your brands. And so when we've done some added value creation with local stations and whatnot, there's a lot of value that happens there because the local consumers trust those individuals because they've been listening to them in many cases for years.
Absolutely.
So I love that as well. Drive impulse purchase, I think we talked a little bit about that, but that's another big reason of why with a lot of brands and across a lot of different categories,
mm-hmm.
not just food, driving that impulse purchase is a big reason why radio works.
Closest to purchase time.
Closest to purchase time. That is exactly right. I think radio's authenticity, it's customizable,
mm-hmm.
and it is also highly targeted is another reason, similar to digital. There's a lot of things we can do now to get to the right target. Radio delivers that in a really big way. Strong ROI, super cost efficient in many respects. And we're always looking at how do we take cost out of the system. If we look at the bang for the buck and the overall return on investment for radio is very strong. So marketers should be thinking about that. And last is really just the fact that we have a time-tested media vehicle. Radio's been around for a long time. It's not going away anytime soon. And with the strength of radio itself, the reach that's possible, again, marketers should highly, highly recommend that marketers look at it if they are not already using it as part of their media mix, to think about it because it's a smart spend. Again, we want to build our brands. We want to cut costs out of the system and be more efficient. Radio delivers all that. So those are a few things I've been talking about or thinking about.
And that is why we asked you to come back this year and be part of Radio on Main Street. Grant, you certainly do not disappoint, and you have made amazing points. We so appreciate the support, and we appreciate, again, the relationship that you're continuing to help educate us so that we can help companies like yours continue to grow and thrive. So thank you so much for squeezing in some time to spend with us here at Radio on Main Street.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. It's been a pleasure.
As you heard, Brent's unwavering support for radio continues a year later. He shared that every marketer wants to build sales and cut costs, and he firmly believes that radio can provide a significant boost. Radio's powerful reach, the opportunity to efficiently target consumers, the trust that the medium enjoys among its listeners, its proximity to purchase, and a comparative low production cost makes radio an extremely affordable solution to drive sales. Brent's recommendation to all of us is to continue to educate the ad community, get case studies out there to inform marketers not only of the possibilities, but the results that like-minded brands are achieving.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.